Podcasting.
Almost live.
Everything digital podcast.
And it is November 9th, 2004, and welcome to the Everything Digital Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about, first of all, my previous podcast. For those of you who listen to that, I'm sure you found it interesting. Also, a recent problem I had with my iPod and how I resolved it. And lastly, useful free or almost free apps that I've found for the Mac OS X operating system. So, I'm going to start with my previous podcast. It was an experiment mostly. I was sort of using it to test the mobility of podcasting. Obviously, at least for me and my equipment, not quite there. I apologize for the horrible audio quality in that podcast for those of you who heard it. And hopefully some of the content that I got in there was audible. I was sort of making it up on the fly. And trying to get it in between playing racquetball. And I was using the Belkin iPod voice recorder, which has been known to produce a great deal of distortion, as you probably heard, whenever there's loud noises. And basically, with that voice recorder, you've got to hold it at arm's length away from the noise source, or it's gonna... It just has a horrible amount of distortion. Supposedly the Griffin iTalk is supposed to be a little better, but I haven't actually tried that. So, in case you missed the last podcast, let me give you a short sample of what happened. This is me playing racquetball. That's the distortion. Later on in here, I think I did talk a little bit.
Feeling. I guess about maybe a little less than 20 feet high.
I'm talking about what the court looked like.
How long it is?
And then play a little more. So just to give you an idea, the voice recorder was actually clipped to my waist. Yet, even when I was just talking, it produced distortions. So, I was surprised. I mean, I thought at my waist maybe my voice would be really quiet, and you could hardly hear it. But it ended up producing digital distortion on the voice recorder. So I don't know. I think they designed it to like put on the center of a table between two people during an interview, definitely not to hold up to your mouth like a dictaphone to speak into directly. So I think if I do another podcast from that, I'll have to be a little more careful about how loud the noise is that I'm putting into it. I don't think I'm going to do the racquetball thing again, although it was an interesting test for one time. So moving on. The problem I had with my iPod, and some of you may have experienced this too, every once in a while, especially on long songs or podcasts, this is mostly when it happened, a couple things would happen. One, all of a sudden, the podcast or song would turn to a bunch of odd, digital, distorted mess. The easiest way to describe it is probably several cars skidding at the same time, that like made digital and distorted slightly. It was not a nice sound, and it was much louder than the song I was playing. So I ripped my earbuds out of my ears immediately, and that happened a couple of times, and also. Whenever I would especially when I was sort of flipping through the song. If you press the select button, then it goes to the view where you can move around the wheel to advance through the song. And when I was doing that, sometimes it would just all of a sudden restart. And even when I wasn't doing that, it would just restart. And the Apple logo would come on, and then it would take a few seconds, and then it would be back up at the main screen. And of course, I'd lose my place in the song, and with a podcast, that's annoying because you got to go back and find the place and the speaking that you left off. And so that happened a couple of times. And I thought, I got something about this. So I looked on the internet and really couldn't find anything wrong. Whenever it restarted, well, sometimes it would display a folder and an error icon, indicating, I believe, a file error. An odd thing, it would, whatever contrast the screen was set at when it restarted would then sort of shift to be the standard average contrast. So I'd end up having to keep increasing and increasing the contrast because I had it set a little above normal every time it did this. So I ended up, like, my contrast wheel was set so it was like the top was normal, and the bottom, even like a quarter from the bottom would be completely blank, the screen. So that was completely messed up. Then I looked around on the internet for a solution, couldn't find anything. So I decided to update to the newest software version, opened iPod Updater, or downloaded the newest updater, realized I was already up to date. But then noticed the restore command in the iPod Updater. So basically what that does is it resets the iPod to its factory defaults, erases all the music, anything else you put on there. So I went ahead and did that, then I had to reinstall all my music, and it was amazing. All 450 songs in iTunes, took about 2 minutes or so to download. The magic of FireWire right there. Seems to have fixed it. The contrast problem's gone. Haven't noticed any restarts. I'm not putting my contacts or my calendar events on. I'm not syncing them to my iPod via iSync now, because I'm thinking that might have been, it might have had something to do with a corrupt file somewhere in my contacts or calendar entries. So I'm not putting those back on. I don't really need them on my iPod anyway. And since it was a file error, the possibilities of that are pretty high. I also had Icon, if you don't know what that is, it's the Constitution in iPod Notes form. And I thought that was pretty interesting, so I downloaded it. But now I'm worried that might have caused the problem. There may be a new version that'll work a little better, but I'm still not sure that's the exact cause. So if you're having this problem, you might want to try restoring. It helped me. I'm only a couple days into it, but it's been working pretty well for me. So that's my iPod fix. And now moving on to some useful free or almost free Mac OS X applications, and I found these through many years of internet surfing, and I'm just sort of going to unload all the utilities and applications that I use on my computer daily, and give you the links to the websites. And if something sounds good to you, go ahead and check it out. All these are good programs. I've used them. As far as I know, they should all work pretty well. As long as you've got Mac OS X. I'm running 10.3, so I'm not sure if all these programs are going to work with previous versions, but if you've got 10.3, then they should all work fine. So, starting with Gcount, this is a Gmail unread message indicator, so basically it connects to your Gmail account. You give it your Gmail username and password, and it connects and tells you how many unread messages you have. It can alert you with the set of your choice, and then you can set it so when you click on it, it goes ahead and opens your Gmail inbox, and then you got your messages right there. And it displays a count of how many unread messages you have, both in your dock and in your menu bar at the top of your screen. So I found that pretty handy. And the website for that is www.ocf.berkeley.edu/ and then the tilde character, and for those of you who don't know what that is, it's that squiggly line under the escape key. If you press shift and the key under the escape key, it's used in math or anything to represent about. Anyway, so tilde character Natan, Natan, / gcount, gcount. So moving on, another Gmail related application that I found, it's called Address Book to CSV, and so this converts your address book contacts, to Gmail compatible CSV format. So then you can upload that file to the Gmail server, and you've got all your address book contacts in your Gmail account. And the homepage for that is homepage.mac.com/kenferry, K-E-N-F-E-R-R-Y, /software.html. And moving on, I'm just gonna roll these off the list. I got a long list here. And check them out if they sound interesting. iAlarm, it's a digital alarm for Mac OS X. It can wake you up with anything from a song from your iTunes playlist to the daily news. So this is a really handy application that I found. It's nice. I usually set my recently downloaded podcasts to be the playlist that it plays in the morning, and then I wake up to a random podcast. And that's nice. Then I listen to that for a little bit before getting out of bed. You can put your computer to sleep at night. And if you got a laptop, make sure you don't close the lid, because then I don't think it'll be able to perform the alarm operation. Anyway, it automatically wakes itself up and performs the function of your choice when you set it to. The web address for that is www.xultrasoft.com/iAlarm. So, moving on. For those of you who have Replay TV boxes, this is kind of like TiVo, except it's a little different in the fact that, or at least the older versions of Replay TV, they automatically skip commercials, and they allow you to send shows over the internet to other people who have Replay TV. Obviously, very controversial features, and I don't think they're selling Replay TVs anymore. The Sonic Blue used to make it, and I don't believe they're making it. I think they sold it to Dinon Marantz, and Dinon Marantz has now said they're not making any more of the boxes. They're still providing the service, so you can probably get a box off eBay if you're interested in it. I use it. It's really great. Of course, I haven't used TiVo, so apparently the new TiVo systems are supposed to be pretty good, too. Anyway, so the program's called mReplay, and what it is a Replay TV management utility. So if your Replay TV is plugged into your home network, you just start up mReplay, and it gives you a list of all the shows you have recorded, and you double-click a show. It automatically downloads to your desktop, and you can watch it whenever you want on your computer. The web address for this is www.bentpitch.com pixel.com/FBM. So definitely check that out if you've got a Replay TV. Next is iPoker. This is the best poker application that I've found for Mac OS X so far. I'm really into poker, and this has it's got a bunch of different poker games, and I think one of the neater features about it is it uses QuickTime movies to display actual characters in front of you that are videos of actual people doing different things, and when they're bluffing, they have different actions, but the actions are not always the same, so it's more like a real poker experience. So that's called iPoker, scenario.com/iPoker, and I check that out if you're into poker. And next is Colokoi. I'm not actually sure that's the correct pronunciation. It's Colokuy. It's a wonderful IRC client, one of its neater features I thought was whenever your name is mentioned or your username is mentioned in a chat, it displays a little window that tells you that, and then you can click on it. It's sort of designed so you can run it in the background, and if you don't want to devote all your time to the chat, and then sort of flip through it when you want to say something or when it tells you your name's been mentioned. So that's colokoi.info, colokuy.info. Next is Kizmac. Some of you may already be familiar with this software. It's a Y-Factor program. And it's great for war driving, if any of you are into that. I know there's a big community out there. It can hack wireless networks, but I certainly don't recommend it. You'll definitely make an enemy out of whichever neighbor you're trying to tap into there. But it does do a great job of detecting wireless networks, can detect them at very low signal levels also. This web address is daunting. I'm just going to spell this one because it's in German, I think. BINAERVARIANZ.DE /projekte/programmierer/kismac. I'm probably going to get an email saying that wasn't German, because I know the web address extension DE, as far as I know, doesn't mean Germany. So the next program I have here is Transmit. It's an FTP client. It's got a good interface, but really what I like it for is it's really great server compatibility. I was trying to get my SpyMac account to work with an FTP client, and most of the ones I tried returned a not more than one connections error, and this one didn't, so I kept it, and it's been working pretty well for me, and that is www.panic.com/transmit. And the last program I have here is VLC Media Player. You've probably heard of this. It's a pretty well-known program. But I use it for playing some files QuickTime can't. There's certain forms of the MPEG-4 file that QuickTime can't play, apparently, and I've been able to use VLC for that. I prefer QuickTime for videos that can play, but in those certain circumstances, when it can't play certain videos, then I use VLC. And actually, for the videos that MReplay downloads, you will have to use VLC and not QuickTime. That's actually the original reason I downloaded VLC. So the web address for that is www.videoland.org/VLC. So that's all the software I have. This was just, I thought, what can I do on the show? And noticed all the freeware and shareware apps that I was using at the same time I was writing the outline for the show. And thought, why don't I do a story about those? So, there you go. There's a big list of stuff to download if it sounds interesting to you. I hope that helps you to choose software or anything you need to be done on your computer. So, that is all I have for today. And see you in the next podcast.